All right, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Rebel with a Cause. I'm your host, Eric, and joining me on the line today is Austin Thomas Jones, famous for the Dagny Dagger. How's it going, buddy?
All right. How about you?
Doing pretty good for a Sunday afternoon. It's nice and cooled down over here in Louisiana. I don't have to go around in a loincloth with a Mr. Fan everywhere. So
you need to visit me in Flagstaff to get away from the humidity sometime.
I have visited Flagstaff on many occasions. It's not like the rest of Arizona. So if you guys haven't been,
it is not.
Go. It's nice. Yeah, some people hear the word Arizona and they automatically think desert, Joshua trees. Everything is like blistering hot. Not in Flagstaff. It's always nice.
Not here. Yeah.
So we were kind of talking a little bit before I hit the record button here. So we've got the Dagny Dagger, which I guess you've just posted a video online of the of some of the test results.
That's right.
How long has this actually been in development? Has this been like a, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's kind of in the can type of stuff. Or
I wish. No, yeah. We announced this project most of 2 years ago. And, okay. You know, like developing new technology does take a while. And but still at points I've been pretty, I don't know, disappointed with how long it's taken. But for, you know, a year and a half, we were just working at the same problems, trying to develop this stuff. The bullet just, you know, it would explode as it came out the barrel.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it wasn't. But a few months ago, you know, things were, you know, we finally had that last piece of the puzzle click into place and it worked. And we've been optimizing it since then. And only about 2 months after that first success, we shot that demo video that people can see now.
Nice. And we'll link all that in the show notes so everybody can take a look at that. And I can understand how, you know, a design process can take a little bit. And then for whatever reason, it clicks and then it's off to the races after that. And you kind of see that a little bit. Have you ever watched Tal Fledermaus on YouTube where he does the shotgun?
Yeah, That's a pretty cool channel. They try a lot of zany things, so I'll say that.
Yeah, my favorites are always the ones where somebody has just created something and send it to them just to see if it'll shoot it in a shotgun, which that takes a lot of trust.
It really does. It does. But, you know, I mean, some of them, you know, most of them fail, as you would expect, but some of them perform, you know, terrifically well.
Yeah. And it's always kind of interesting to see what he's willing to put into the barrel of a shotgun to see if it'll fly. But there's just some where you just look at it and you can say, well, I can see how it would work. And then it just doesn't. So it's always kind of fun. So the Dagny Dagger, I'm assuming, is named after the Dagny character from Atlas Shrugged.
That's right. Yep. The name of the company and the name of our projects are based on the book. Yeah.
Yeah. Atlas Arms, I think, is the name of the company, too.
Yes.
Okay. Good. I've got the right set of notes in front of me, so I'm not going to make a fool of myself. So tell us why you've decided to create some kind of armor that would defeat ballistics protection.
Yeah. So I guess you could say equality under the law. I mean, it really goes back to that cornerstone of what we might call liberal justice.
Yeah.
I believe that every man, woman, and child should be equal under the law. But today we have this special caste of our society,
right?
That works for the government. Most of them, you know, called law enforcement. But there's, you know, other government agents that are, you know, able to use armor-piercing ammunition, while the rest of us would be imprisoned or dearly fined or, you know, some other manner of hurt by the government for daring to possess such capability. So, that's kind of the motivation. And I have always been interested in guns. And as myself, a voluntarist, as I know that you are,
right?
I don't want the state to maintain a monopoly on violence. And I think what better tool, or, you know, what better way to kind of attack that monopoly than by making restricted tools of violence available to individuals.
Yeah. And even if they're going around, and I know some states have laws on the books that ban the civilian possession of body armor. And I was like, you look at that kind of stuff and you're like, what? That's just for protection. I mean, what do you, you know, cause not it's all true. Of us can afford to live in a gated community where we've got security guards at our beck and call. You know, some people do kind of live in a rather sketchy parts of town, and having a set of body armor might actually come in use someday, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the beginning of our video says, is a man not entitled to his own defense? No, says a man in Washington, it belongs to the state. And, you know, that's a reference to the whole video is themed to the BioShock video game that quote is from.
Yeah.
But I really believe that. And what you're saying with body armor makes it clear. You know, the regulators will tell you, oh, we want to restrict access to certain firearms technologies, certain weapons technologies, because we don't think that you should be able to kill, you know, you should be able to kill people so easily. But in fact, the reality is they literally want you to be dependent on the state for your defense. Right. And, you know, that's exactly what we see when they ban body armor. You know, that they can't, that is one instance in which it becomes very apparent that they just want you to be dependent on them, not that they want to keep you from harming others.
Yeah. And I'll go ahead and throw on my monogram tinfoil hat for just a moment here and say they kind of like it that way when the state agents come after you. All right. I'll take off the monogram tinfoil hat for just
yes.
So,
hey, look, I agree. I don't think that's a tinfoil hat at all. I think that's almost like, you know, not controversial at this point.
Yeah. We've definitely seen that with the, Breonna Taylor thing, you know, the police, did they knock? Did they not knock? You know, and then they just start shooting because the boyfriend shot back. Cause how is he supposed to know that's legit cops on the other side of the door? You know?
Yeah. Right. At what hour of the night was it? I can't even remember now.
It was like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Some peculiar business hours they have.
Yeah, exactly. Because we all know that evil does things at the witching hour at 3 a.m., right? So it's a...
Yeah,
it just gets... when you say it out loud sometimes, it just seems really silly. And then we get people like you and Franklin Armory, who came out with... what was it? An AR-15 with like straight lanes and grooves so that it wouldn't be counted as a short barrel rifle.
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
That from a couple years ago. Yeah.
Franklin Armory does some really cool stuff to get around the regulations. You know, and it's still all like normal firearms technology. They're not developing like new stuff like we're trying to, but I think that they're still pretty cool. You know, and they also make those binary triggers as well, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, I love binary triggers. I was a little bit skeptical of them at first. But then I shot one in a buddy's rifle and I was like, oh, I get this now. It's kind of like that in bump stocks. You know, it's always kind of fun to giggle a little bit when you've done automatic like fire, you know, all in all the air quotes there.
Yes. Right. Right. So
do you specifically market the Dagny Dagger as an armor piercing round, or are you choosing a little bit less incendiary language to
if you go watch our videos and read our website, we don't try to hide anything. I mean, it is what it is. It's out there. We don't have, you know, we don't use purposefully incendiary language.
Okay.
Like some people, that, we might be associated with do. But no, like I pride myself because I'm the head of Atlas Arms. And you know, technically, legally, I am the president, but I don't care. I have to do some business administration to take care of this company. But first and foremost, I'm an engineer. And that's what I'm proud of being. So, you know, we don't use any like crazy belligerent marketing. We don't overhype anything. We just tell you exactly what it does, exactly what it's designed to do. And then we show you how it works. And, you know, that's all the marketing we need to do. But yeah, we don't, you know, we also, in that honesty, we don't shy away from it. We call this bullet, this new bullet we've made, it is armor penetrating hollow point. And, you know, maybe we can talk about that later, how it's kind of a multi-role bullet. It's good for unarmored and armored targets. But yeah, it is specifically designed to penetrate armor. That's what the project is about. And that has been the intention from the beginning.
Well, that's, you know, everybody needs some kind of armor penetrating ammo. And hunters out there, I'm looking at you, because animals have bones, and a lot of times they have very thick bones.
So it's a really good thing you bring this up, actually, because we, since seeing the performance on unarmored targets, we do want to eventually make a form of this that is good for hunting. Specifically, we have in mind for hunting hogs.
Yes.
Who have like thick hides. They're very large, very muscular. And yes, as you say, they've got bones. So you need something that will penetrate very deep and also cause a very large wound channel. And this bullet does both. And I think it's really cool that hopefully you'll be able to use this bullet to, you know, out of a pistol to hunt hogs, protect yourself from bears and things like that, which has been, you know, previously not something you would want to depend on a pistol to do.
Yeah. Anything that has very large claws and teeth, you really don't want to depend your life on a pistol for that one.
But, usually no.
But if you got something that'll get through all of that, thick skin, hide, muscles and really thick rib bones and everything else to make it to a vital organ that's going to stop that animal from charging at you or whatever. And especially in the case of hogs, because they are very, very fast.
Oh, yes.
And anyone who's been hog hunting where you get a male that decides it's going to charge, that's what it's doing. And their skulls are very, very thick. So don't even count on a headshot half the time.
Yeah, well, this will do it. This will punch through that skull like it was nothing.
Yeah. So before everyone says, oh, you just want to go out there and kill cops. I was like, no. I'm thinking about putting bacon in the freezer first and foremost. So, and I could just see this thing would be a great addition to anybody's lineup of stuff that they can use out there. So, but yeah, let's get on to the design portion of it. You said it's a armor piercing hollow point. And usually when you're thinking hollow point, you want something that's going to expand and not necessarily penetrate too deeply. So what was the idea behind that?
Yeah. So, you know, to be honest, kind of the background is, I don't even use hollow points in my carry gun. You know, that's just kind of a personal point of ethics for me. I would not prescribe that to other people. You carry what, you know, what makes you comfortable.
Right.
But I knew, like, you know, we kind of, and you know, you would understand this being, in the free market, in the camp free market economics.
Right.
If you want something to get out there, there's no better way than by, you know, the unparalleled forces and power of the free market. And so, you know, this is first and foremost to penetrate armor, but we wanted to make sure that people would buy this, people would use it, and that it would be something that people felt like they could count on. And I knew that if we wanted people to carry it and really consider it as a serious round for personal protection, it would need to have some really good, wounding capability. So you see there, if you see on our website or even our crowdfunding page, Twitter, whatever you're looking at our online space, you can see an image of the dagger, and you can see that inside is a core made of metal, and that's what penetrates armor when it hits an armored target. But around that metal core, there is a polymer jacket, That's the black portion. And you can see that though the core is inside of that, that forms a point, there is a hollow at the tip. So if you shoot this into a soft target, like an unarmored assailant or a pig ballistics gel, as it goes through, that entire jacket will be ripped, like peeled off of the core, and open up into a massive, massive expanded cavity.
Okay.
And of course, this bullet is going 2,300 feet per second out of a Glock 17. So,
nice.
With that, yeah, you get the extra effect of that super velocity. And it has a wounding capability that is far in excess of a traditional hollow point. So, you shoot an armored target, it defeats the armor. If you shoot an unarmored target, it expands and causes, massive wounding like you would want from a standard hollow point that you might carry in your carry gun. So, yeah, we're really excited that it does both. And this is something that even steel core bullets that the military uses, the police use, even they don't do this. Right. So this is a really new technology that it's able to fulfill both of those roles.
Yeah, and even the M855 ammunition that I used in the Army and everything, that's just a steel tip, just to make sure that it gets past some kind of soft armor. Steel plate, it might go through it, it might not, depending on how close or far away the target is. So if you got something that can defeat that, going into it, so it's it'd be interesting to see where this develops in about 5 years, because I can see I can see you taking off with it.
We can't wait to get into other calibers. This kind of our the highest that we really, I would be shocked if with this 9mm, because we're not even done with development yet. We're still optimizing.
Right.
But I would be shocked if by the time we were done, we were not able to defeat some pistol rated steel plate. That stuff is really good. Even, standard lead core, what is it? 7.62x39 has a tough time going through that stuff.
Right.
I think we'll be able to do that. I think out of a carbine barrel, it should be able to go through level 3 plate steel. But of course, you get into like 3+, there's some forms of armor that this 9mm just won't be able to do.
Right.
It's pretty amazing already that we can defeat what we can with it. But we're looking forward to getting into 10mm and 40 Smith & Wesson with this, maybe even 5.7, as well as the rifle stuff like 5.56 and 308. I can't wait to see, where that takes us. You say 5 years, I think we should definitely have that done in 5 years.
Yeah, because everyone will be excited with 9mm, because 9mm is, pretty ubiquitous. I mean, everybody's got one. You mentioned a Glock 17. I've got one of those. A lot of people that I know have Glock 19s because they're a little bit easier to conceal. And all of that shoots 9mm. And 9mm has been around for a long time, and there's a reason for it. It's, light. You can pack a lot of it with you. And, it's no slouch. It will do the job.
It will.
And then getting up into the other calibers like 5.56 and 308 and everything, I mean, you're just cashing checks at that point. Hey, Austin, we'll be back in just a second. Hey, while I got you here, head on over to donottax.me. It's a new print publication that's in the works, and they are looking for writers like you. So if you have an article that hasn't been submitted anywhere else or published anywhere else and you want to get it on there, send those submissions over to info@donottax.me. Keep them between 600 and 3,500 words. Anyways, guys, check them out. Okay, and we're back.
Well, I hope so. But, I would be remiss if I didn't say at this point, we do look forward to commercializing this as a, we want to open a for-profit branch and produce this commercially so that, people don't have to make it themselves. But I do want people to know that the main idea of this project was to make it open source. And it is specifically designed so that it's easier to make at home than traditional APMO. And our company is a 501c3 research nonprofit. So, you know, we're entirely funded with charitable giving at this point. And our first objective is to develop this and then to tell people how to make it, develop tools for them to make it at home so that, you know, no matter what the regulatory scheme is, there's always going to be a way for you to make it kind of, you know, illegally or under the radar, no matter what happens. So right. That's our first objective. And then we'll try to make a profit with it.
Yeah, and that's so much of what goes on these days. We were mentioning Franklin Armory. It's not really, you know, is it legal for them to sidestep like this? It's just they're reacting to the way that the market is being handled. And I can see this, you know, if you're going to do it at home, you know, somebody's going to, if you have like just the bare minimum of shop tools, you know, I can see if you had like a metal lathe, you can probably turn this bullet yourself. And like you said, you'll probably come up with some tooling and everything for that. So,
well, yeah, our plan right now is we're developing a new a tool center for the Ghost Gunner. And I don't know if you've heard of the Ghost Gunner or if your listeners have. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're adding lathe capability to the Ghost Gunner. So it's a mill now. We're going to convert it into a lathe with this special tool we make. And that will allow you to essentially just, you know, click a start and make the cores and jackets for the Dagny Dagger, you know, with your Ghost Gunner. And then of course bond them together yourself and load them as you would hand load any ammunition. So, it really should be very easy once we're said and done for people to do this.
Well, that's awesome. And that's what everyone needs to be thinking about going forward is, you know, these restrictions and regulations are not going to get laxed up anytime soon. You know, even if Trump is reelected or there's some other super Republican that's going to come in after that, or, you know, God forbid a libertarian gets in there. yeah, I think all of these NFA rules and everything are going to be around for a long time to come. And so just kind of figuring out how to do this stuff on your own is always going to be preferable. And, you know, I'm a voluntarist with agorist tendencies. And so anybody who's got metal shop and knows how to operate a lathe and, you know, a press and everything else, I mean, you can make pretty much anything that's out there already. So.
Yeah. It's true.
So what was the original thought that came into your brain that kind of got all this started? Was it just the kind of the climate that was going on a couple of years ago, or was it something else that kind of triggered this?
Well, all so puns intended. Yeah, this is it's tough to tell. You know, some people ask me that and I don't really know where to start, how far back to go, because I don't want to bore them with a really long story. But right. I've always been kind of inclined to, you know, an interest in firearms. I'm very, you know, I've always been kind of an engineering mind my entire life, or at least far back as I can remember. Always interested in guns. And I've always, I guess since, I don't know, early high school, had kind of libertarian leanings. And I kind of understood the importance of firearms and in individual independence and freedom. And I've always understood how the government likes to take that away. So when I was in college, I was thinking of them along the lines of like, you know, people can make guns, but really the choke point is the ammunition and especially gunpowder. So I wanted to make a homemade gunpowder factory, something that you could that people could buy and then just at home, you know, make their own gunpowder.
Right.
I realized that was extremely dangerous, extremely difficult. So I kind of abandoned that. But then, you know, a few years ago, I was really into steampunk and I still am. I used to make all kinds of cool steampunk stuff, including steampunk air rifles. And I was thinking up one of those and that led me to a concept for, okay, maybe not homemade gunpowder, but maybe I think we could make a new type of firearm that could take a gunpowder replacement in a fluid form. So I wanted to work on that. but I knew I would need lots of resources, lots of money. I would need people to help. And I started looking for help. And eventually I figured out that no, nobody's going to help with this, that I would need to build a platform to accrue the capital and the reputation necessary to start on these, you know, really far reaching, very ambitious goals. So, the Dagny Dagger, the first form of it, I was just thinking like, you know, what are some other projects that we could do to get people interested in us so that people would know that we're working on ways to get around federal or just government regulations in general. So I was thinking about like how to make a mold system, how to like cast lead around a steel core, how to make like a casting die so that people could cast bullets with a steel core in it, you know, and we wouldn't do the illegal part. We just allow people to do the illegal part with our tools. And that really kind of morphed and changed forms and got refined until we ended up with the Dagny Dagger. And so, you know, it went from something that was all about just kind of provoking the government and just kind of sticking up a middle finger into something that I believe is one of, if not the best designs for armor-piercing ammunition that ever was. Instead of something that's just, you know, provocative, now we have something that's practical,
yeah.
Something that really, really works and does, you know, kind of exhibits unprecedented performance.
Yeah. And I think your video that you just posted recently kind of proves that. And like we were talking earlier, it's got so many more applications than just defense from the state. And I can't wait to see where it goes from here, because I'm excited about the project. And sometimes I think about what could have been. And I don't know if you knew this. You mentioned air rifles and everything. And all the way back then, Lewis and Clark had an air rifle that had a 20-round. The Girardoni had 20-round magazine. Yeah. And so it's one of the things that I like to put in anti-gunner's face. And they say, well, nobody could have envisioned people having a magazine that would hold so many rounds that could be shot so many times a minute. And it was like, yeah, well, here's this. It was an air rifle. It was used by the Holy Roman Empire at one point. And it had a 20-round magazine and, you know, had about the same ballistics as a 45 ACP. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. No, I am also inspired by the Girardoni. It's amazing. And I agree. Thinking about what could have been. And you know, we think about like the puckle gun and some of those other like early attempts, you know, at like breech loading machine guns or whatever.
Right.
It is really cool. It's definitely an area that fascinates me. And so often, kind of the inspiration for technology of the future lies in technology that supposedly was obsolete, you know, a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah. And it still comes into play. I mean, the Gatling gun, Maxim created the silencer, because he wanted to be kind to neighbors when he was shooting in his backyard, you know?
Yes. That's right.
And sometimes I'll even point out, I was like, look, you put a muffler on your car so we don't get obnoxious engine noise everywhere that we go.
Yeah. That's literally the same invention.
Yeah. I mean, it's just redirecting gases around and just making sure that it's not so loud when it comes out the other side. So, But yeah, that's trying to explain this kind of stuff to people. I sometimes think is a Sisyphean task. You know, I'm trying to push that boulder up the hill and then they'll ask a question that they think is some kind of argument to it. And they're just like, okay, well, let's start all this over.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. I have to say though, you know, I used to experience the same thing and truth be told, I still do. And I think that's why these kind of projects are important. I mean, I guess that's why I started doing this in the first place. It's just kind of a frustration that like conversation never gets you anywhere.
Yeah.
So instead of talking about it, you just do it. And like, how can people argue when they see a video demonstrating what this does? You know, you have to argue with facts instead of referring to facts, you just make new facts that they can't deny.
Right.
And I think that's really powerful. And that's kind of the strategy here.
Yeah, and I think so much of our society and culture has got like the attention span of a gnat half the time. So yes. If they see like a quick video or something, then they kind of get the idea. And then still they you know, a lot of times I'll call it circle talk because I'll start off with a point and then we'll go all the way around the world and I'll come back to the point again. And I might have to do this two or three times before it starts to sink in. But it can get frustrating, but at the same time, I don't think anyone's kind of geared for, you know, being free. They think that they live in a free country. And then when you point out all the different ways that they're not, they get so resistant to the idea. And then here comes along a guy who's like, oh yeah, by the way, I can create this armor piercing ammunition that's going to be cheap to produce on your own. You know?
Yeah, definitely. What can you do? I mean, most people are always just kind of the drag alongs that, you know, whatever society is into, that's what they like. So, but you know, I don't think that's too much of a roadblock though. And I don't think we should be too pessimistic about that. You know, like as kind of the folklore goes, like, you know, only 3% of American colonists were really like supportive of the revolution. And that worked out fine. You know, and I don't think it really takes that many people to change the world. You know, I think most people are just kind of in this, you know, whatever comes mode, and are just kind of like irrelevant to the situation, no matter what they think and feel. And then you have this like small group of people who, you know, who are, kind of, you know, they network, they talk, intelligently, and they create and they do in this world. And those are the people that really have the power. And that's an empowering thought for me. And it's almost like there was somebody that once said, what is it? The spark gap is mightier than the pen. The engineer now has more power than the politician or something like that. And I think that's really powerful, that as long as you're doing, as long as you're networked with the people who are doing, you know, as long as you're really hooked up to the realities and the practicalities of the world, then you have a lot more power than people that just say, you know, write on pieces of paper, do this, don't do that, or I'll hurt you.
Yeah. And that's quite a lot. It's leading by example, I think, is probably the best way to go about it. I mean, I can talk until I'm blue in the face about, hey, you need to stop hurting people and taking their stuff. And you talk to some of your, you know, progressive friends or your Republican friends, and they just don't get it. And then when you're leading that life yourself, sometimes I look up and it's like, oh, he's just doing it. Look at him. I guess this can work too. And, you know, our next generation, you know, our kids, it's, you know, I'll hear my son while he's playing a game and he's, you know, trying to command his friends to do stuff. And I was like, what happens when they say no? What happens when they're not doing it? It was like, well, I'll kick them from the server. I was like, do they know that? You know, have you told them this? And he goes, well, no, because then they would definitely not play anymore. I was like, okay, well, let that be a lesson.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a little bit better to attract flies with honey than it is with vinegar. So, but yeah, some people are a little more hard-headed than that. Mm-hmm. But this conversation has been great. I can't wait to see what y'all develop next. What else is going to come out of your brain there? So it's a great thing. I highly suggest everybody go watch that video. Go click on those links down in the show notes so that you can go see what they're doing over there at Atlas Arms. And when it comes out, definitely get some. You know, you got to support this guy too. So Austin, is there any other little links or?
Yeah, I guess I should tell people that we have we are 100% funded by donation. This is very important because if we weren't, then we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. You know, we want to give this away, and therefore we would not be able to find investment capital to develop this ammunition and just, you know, give it away.
Right.
So yeah, your donation is very, very important to us. If you want to see this happen and as quickly as possible, please donate. To do this, we have a crowdfunding page on gundynamics.com. Gun Dynamics is a crowdfunding site specifically for firearms related projects, because of course we would get kicked off of Indiegogo and Kickstarter and those sites. So, if you want to, through Gun Dynamics, you can donate, via credit card, USD, fiat currency. And, please do share that donation page as wide as you can. Right now we have almost, our crowdfunding page on that site has, more shares than any other, project on the site, but we don't have as many shares as the main site. So, if you want something to share, if you don't have any cash to spare, if you can help us and share that crowdfunding site, that would be amazing. Spread it far and wide through the internet. That certainly helps. If you don't have a wide open purse, if you don't have a heavy purse at the moment, and trust me, I understand, please do help us by sharing that. And then I should say, to check out, the videos that we have, and all the other public information about this project and our company as a whole, including other projects, go to atlasarms.org. That's .org, not .com, .org, because we are a nonprofit research company.
Right.
Also through our main page, you will find a page where you can donate Bitcoin. If you're like me and prefer to deal in cryptocurrency than fiat. I guess that's about it, except that we also have a Twitter page you can check out. I'm not some hoity-toity executive. I pride myself on being open about everything, not just open sourcing the project, but if you'd like, you can email me at austin@atlasarms.org or email the company at dagny@atlasarms.org.
Sweet, sweet stuff. So I'm looking at the Gun Dynamics page right now. It's got a total raised of $13,848 of the $30,000 goal. So
yeah.
If you're listening to this, if you can drop $5 in there, drop $5 in there or whatever. But you need to get more support than that. So
yes, please. Thank you.
All right, Austin, we'll take it easy, man. We'll talk at you again at some point. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks very much for having me. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. Take it easy. All right, folks, there he goes. Austin Thomas Jones. Check out all of those links down in the show notes. I'm going to have his Twitter account, his Gun Dynamics donation page, and of course the atlasarms.org site listed down there as well. So you ain't got to go hunting and pecking all over the place for it. And also, while you're down there in the show notes, check out all the ways that you can support this show, because I got several different ways that you can do that. I got Patreon, Subscribestar, Float. Even got a Cash App and a PayPal if you want to donate fiat that way. But hey, guys, it's been fun doing all this for as many years as I've been up to it. So coming soon, I'm going to have a website coming out soon. So be on the lookout for that. I'll have it listed shortly. Anyways, guys, take it easy. We'll come at you next time with a brand new episode of Rebel with a Cause. Out.